Amen. Amen. That's why we sing, Lord. That's why we sing it for you, Lord Jesus. And we just ask you, Lord, to be our strength, to purify us, Lord, so we can shine for you.
Refiner's fire.
As you greet each other, will you just encourage each other to choose to do His will? Choose to do His will, whatever He's calling you to do. Amen. Let's greet each other.
Pray with me as we offer this up to the Lord. Lord, we thank you so much for the privilege of giving an offering to you, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We present your tithes and our offerings to you now to use for your glory, dear Jesus, as we send them in. And even 10% of this is given directly to missions, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that our district and our international, they do see that missions is such a priority, and we thank you for that, Lord, in addition to the offerings that we give designated. But we ask you to bless it. In your mighty name, amen.
Evelyn has asked me to open with a special song before she brings forth the message today.
Hear my humble cry.
Good morning. Do you know that drinking coffee is the number one cause of blindness in the Philippines? Have you heard about that? Let me show you. This is how we drink coffee in the Philippines. Not very smart, right? Not very smart. Well, today, I wanted to talk to you about a blind man who was smart because he knew who Jesus was and he knew what Jesus could do. The story takes place during the time that Jesus was passing through Jericho. During the era of Jesus, Jericho was probably the most trafficked city in the world. It is the most trafficked because it is the crossroad of the world. Let's say if you were in the land of Assyria and you wanted to go down to Egypt, you had to go through Jericho. And if you were in the land of Persia and you wanted to go to Greece or to Rome, you would have to travel through Jericho. So you can imagine how extremely crowded Jericho was. When Jesus was passing through Jericho, it was the near end of his ministry and during the time of the Passover. So you can just imagine many people are going up to Jerusalem to worship at the feast of the Passover. Many, many people also came to see Jesus. As Jesus was walking, something stopped him. He stood still, and it is the cry of a needy person. No matter how many people there might be, no matter how much noise there is, Jesus can always hear the cry of a needy person. He always has the time to help a person who reaches out in faith. The story is found in Mark 10, starting verse 46 to verse 52. If you have your Bible, please open up to Mark 10, starting verse 46. According to the Bible, Jesus and his disciples came to Jericho, where there was a great multitude. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the roadside begging. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, he began to cry out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me!" Many people rebuked him for crying out and told Bartimaeus, "Shh, be quiet." However, he cried out all the more, "Son of David, oh please, please have mercy on me." Jesus heard Bartimaeus stop, and in other translation, it says he stood still and ask him to be called. So they said, "Be of good cheer, get up, for he is calling you." If you have your Bible open on that verse, can you please underline, "He is calling you"? Throwing aside his coat, he got up and came to Jesus. Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Bartimaeus replied, "Rabboni, that I might receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has healed you." Immediately Bartimaeus received his sight, but instead of going his own way, he followed Jesus' way. He was a pretty smart blind man.
He was smart because he knew who Jesus was. He was smart because he knew what Jesus could do. Well, as we continue on to this passage, there are four things that we can learn about Bartimaeus. Number one, his blindness. Number two, his boldness. Number three, his belief. And number four, his blessing. His blindness. In verse 46, it mentioned that a blind man, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. Blindness was a very common condition in the days of Jesus. There were many causes for this, like unsanitary condition, the hot sun, the vast amount of sand in Jericho, accidents, injuries, or gonorrheal blindness. This blindness caused by bacteria that attaches to the baby's eyes as it passes through the birth canal of a mother who had contracted the disease from an unfaithful husband. So you could just imagine, Bartimaeus was blind because of this disease. He is the son of the unclean one. His situation was a hopeless one, a helpless one. The truth is, we are all in some ways like Bartimaeus. Many of you can remember how blind you were before coming to Christ. However, we are still in many ways like Bartimaeus, even after coming to Christ. There may be someone here who faces bleak or helpless situation that may be beyond his or her control, or maybe beyond his or her ability to handle. However, no one is ever hopeless. No one is ever helpless with Jesus. This is because the touch of Jesus can change a person's life in a moment. The second thing that we see about Bartimaeus is his boldness that he has. He did not care what people thought about him. He wanted to see Jesus. He wanted Jesus to see his situation and to meet his need. In verses 47-48, when Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." I think the crowd thought he was confused. Is not Jesus the son of Joseph? Well, why is Bartimaeus crying out, "Jesus, Son of David"? Well, if you go back to the Old Testament, you will find that the title Son of David was a title for the promised Messiah. David was given a promise that one of his descendants is going to sit on his throne and rule and reign forever. That's the Messiah. They prophesied that when the Son of David comes, the lame are going to walk, the deaf are going to hear, the blinds are going to see. And Bartimaeus, no doubt, heard about Jesus of Nazareth, and all the things they were telling him made him put two and two together. Bartimaeus understood who Jesus was. And this was the opportunity of a lifetime for him. Therefore, Bartimaeus continued to cry out, even though the people rebuked him to keep quiet. No one could stop him. Actually, he cried out louder. Oh, the boldness of this man. Well, you heard about Helen Keller. She was blind and deaf. She said, It is better to see the eyes of faith than to have two good eyes and see nothing at all. James 4, verse 2 says, "You have not because you ask not." The Bible says that we ought to boldly come before the throne of grace.
Amen.
So that we will be able to find mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. We ought to boldly come before the throne of grace. I like Jeremiah 33, verse 3 also. "Call unto me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things you know not of." Call unto me. And also Isaiah 55, verse 6, which says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near." Jesus was near Bartimaeus, and he was calling out to him. In the history of the church, there was an amazing woman of God named Fanny Crosby. At 6 weeks old, she was taken to an incompetent doctor who put the wrong medication in her eyes, and this caused her to be blind for the rest of her life. Amazingly, she wrote 8,000 worship songs despite her blindness. Her most favorite song is what Pastor Janet just sang before the sermon, called "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior." "Hear my humble cry, while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry, while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by." One of the articles I read about her mentioned that she was invited to many places where missions were held. On one occasion, it was at a state prison. Much was hoped for from this particular meeting. As Fanny was speaking and her very blindness gave her power, first one prisoner and then another would interrupt by calling on the good Lord not to pass me by. And then that's when she got inspired to write the song, "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior." The third thing that we see about Bartimaeus is his belief in Jesus. Verse 49, we read that Jesus stopped. In another translation, it says Jesus stood still after Bartimaeus called out to him. Well, that's interesting. In the Old Testament, near Jericho, there was a man named Joshua who cried out to God. And the sun, S-U-N, stood still. And now, in the New Testament, near Jericho, Bartimaeus cried out to Jesus, and the sun, S-O-N, stood still.
Amen.
Isn't that interesting? So they called Bartimaeus, "Cheer up, on your feet. He is calling you." With all the crowd and all the noise, Bartimaeus was able to obtain the attention of Jesus with his belief in Jesus. His belief. No one is here by accident. And I believe through God's word, Jesus is calling you. I do not know your circumstance. Maybe I do. I may not know your situation, how hopeless or how helpless it is. I do not know in what way you are like Bartimaeus. But Jesus is calling you today. The Bible says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden." The Bible says, all who come to Jesus, he will never push away. Jesus is calling you. Then in verse 50, the Bible says, throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. Do you think the phrase throwing the cloak aside or throwing the coat aside is an important one? Why do you think Mark recorded this? There is nothing in the Bible by accident. Why would it be important to us? Because if you know anything about a homeless person, a person who is begging, the coat is everything. It's their world. It's their security. It's all they have. To a blind person, their coat meant even more than that. Because in the Old Testament, the coats of blind people were a certain color. That way, when the blind people walk by and the people see them, they could spot them right away. Oh, that's a blind person. I need to help that person. Throwing his coat aside. Why is it important? Because it shows his faith in Jesus. Throwing his coat aside meant he is not going to need his coat anymore. Jesus is going to help him. Jesus is going to answer his prayers. Jesus is going to change his life. Aren't you excited? Yeah. I ask you today, what is it? What is it that you need to let go of? What is it? What is it you are hanging on so tightly to? That is your security. What is it? Jesus is calling you. Jesus is saying, let it go. Let it go. Jesus reached out to everybody that come to him in faith. Throwing his coat aside, and he came to Jesus. So Jesus said to him in verse 51, what do you want from me? What do you want from me? Can you imagine this? Bartimaeus has been hearing all these things about Jesus. He knew that Jesus is the son of David. It was an ordinary day for him. He is just in his darkness. He hears this commotion and he asks, what is it? What is it? Someone said, it is Jesus of Nazareth. And then to hear someone telling him, he is calling you. And he threw his coat aside, and now he is right in front of Jesus. But he can't still see him. And then he hears his voice, the wonderful voice that one day we will hear. And he asks him, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? He knew exactly what he needed. Verse 51 said, and the blind man said to him, Rabboni, which means my great one, that I might receive my sight. Such faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Bartimaeus was reaching out in faith. Oh, the faith of this man. He believed what Jesus could do. His blindness, his boldness, his belief. And now we come to his blessing, number four. In verse 52, Jesus said to Bartimaeus, "Go your way. Your faith has healed you." Immediately, Bartimaeus received his sight, and he followed Jesus in the way of God. Some miracles take time, but this was immediate. This was an immediate blessing. The word says that the moment it happened, the crowd was amazed and got blown away. Let me ask you another question. When was the last time you read the Bible and you got blown away? They were blown away. We learned what it meant to the crowd, but what does it mean for Bartimaeus? What did opening the eyes of Bartimaeus mean for him? All of a sudden, Bartimaeus could see the palm trees. We don't have it here, but he saw the palm trees, his families, his friends. Let me ask you again, what do you think was the first thing he saw? I think so too. The first thing he saw was the face of Jesus, because he was right there, standing in front of him. Remember, I was talking to you about Fanny Crosby? Near the end of her life, someone had asked her if she could live life all over again and had the choice of seeing or being blind. Which choice would she choose? And Fanny replied that she would choose to be blind, because the first face that she would see would be the face of Jesus. This is what happened to Bartimaeus. This is the privilege he received from his faith and from his blessing. I like how verse 52 begins and how it ends. Jesus said to him, "Go your way." However, Bartimaeus did not go his way, because he chose to follow Jesus' way. Bartimaeus was a smart, blind man because he knew who Jesus was and he knew what Jesus could do. This is what a Christian life is all about. It is not about following rules and regulations. It is about understanding how wonderful and how amazing Jesus is, and about understanding everything that he has done for you, for me. This understanding motivates you to follow him. I am. There's a famous Christian songwriter named Tommy Walker, and he wrote one of the most famous songs that I've heard, and it goes like, "How could I love you, my Savior and my God? How could I but love you? How could I but serve you? How could I but follow you when all your ways lead to freedom and life?" The privilege that Bartimaeus received is also a privilege for you and I. This is because Hebrews 13 verse 8 says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." Jesus is calling you. He knows your name. He knows your circumstance. He knows your situation. Come to him. Jesus is calling you. I believe that if you reach out in faith like Bartimaeus did and tell Jesus what you really want, then he will meet you. His help is only a prayer away. The word from the Lord for our church for this year is receive. I believe that Jesus is calling you and me to receive. Receive his grace. Receive his mercy. Receive his love. Receive his word. Receive his healing. Receive his forgiveness. Receive the blessings that he has for you. Receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior if you haven't done it. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is calling you. Receive.
So Jesus is calling us. There are several things in particular that Jesus is calling us, that Jesus is calling you personally to be, to do. There were so many, and I'm not going to mention all of them, but I do want to mention a few. He is calling us to be ambassadors of his heavenly kingdom. We are called to be light and salt, and we are called to be warriors of prayer. To follow and become disciples, and then to go and be ambassadors in the heavenly kingdom. Matthew 28, make disciples of all nations. That was verse 19. In Mark 16, 15, of course, is go into all the world, preach the good news to all creation. That's how we are to go and be ambassadors. To be salt and light in Matthew 5, verses 13 and 14, he says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It can no longer be good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Let your light. Doesn't that sound like a choice? And then, of course, to pray, to be prayer warriors. There are so many, I couldn't list them all. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Ephesians 6:18, pray for all God's people. 1 Timothy 2:2, pray for all those in authority. And I'll end with this one, Luke 6:28, pray for those who hurt you. So, will you answer his call? Thank you. Now I live to give him praise. In the chaos, in confusion, I know you're sovereign still. In the moment of my weakness, you give me grace to do your will. When you call, I won't delay. This my song through all my days. There is no one else for me, none but Jesus, crucified to set me free. Now I live to praise him. There is no one else for me, none but Jesus, crucified to set me free. Now I live to give him praise. Chris and Kay are up here. I welcome you to come and ask for prayer as I play through this again. Chris and Kay will remain up here if any of you feel you would like prayer. Dean is going to be ending with a benediction for us. Let me make sure.
Lord, we've heard your voice. We've heard the question you've placed before us, and the opportunity that you've made so clear to leave this place, to follow the calls upon our lives, to be the light in the dark world that's going to get darker and darker as you as you're approaching to return. Lord, we acknowledge our dependency upon you, and we look forth to answer that call and to be your ambassadors, be that salt in the world and the light that you've called us to be as we leave this place today on top of this mountain. As we go out that door, we're entering into your mission field, the world that surrounds us, that we have such a great view of right now in the natural as well as in the spirit, because the word has been spoken. You have called us and are calling us and empowering us and strengthening us. We go forth now a new beginning into the mission field that you've prepared for us to walk in and bring you much glory and to see your light shine and the brightness of your countenance to spread forth from this place. We thank you for the privilege. We call forth for your help and your power and your authority. Amen.